The title of the sermon this morning, For Every Cloud There's a Rainbow. Our scripture text is found in Genesis chapter 9. We'll be reading verses 12 through 16. We have the verses for you as well on the PowerPoint. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud. And I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." A man had a wonderful farm and a very fine spring on that farm. And that spring furnished sparkling cold water, and it met all the needs of the farm for irrigation, for their personal use, to take care of all the animals. But one morning, an earthquake shook that area all around his farm, and suddenly the spring dried up and there was no more water coming through the spring at all. Well, the farmer was stunned at the loss of this spring, so suddenly he thought, "I'm ruined. This entire farm is dependent upon that spring." That night he was so discouraged and full of despair. The next morning he got up, he went out once again to inspect the dried up spring. And when he did, he found in its place a big gushing oil well flowing oil, more than he ever had could have imagined, out of that same spot the spring had been. The loss of one thing had brought him something much better and so much greater. And many times God allows some loss, some difficulty to come into our lives so that he might give us something even better in its place. It's been said that for every cloud, there is a rainbow. But I have to remind all of us today, we have to be in the proper position to see it. When life's shadows fall on us and darkness and despair and trouble comes our way, the only way we can get in the right position is by looking unto Jesus. If we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the only right position. And when we're in that position, then we can see his light shining through even the darkness of the clouds. And you know, clouds come into every life, don't they? Hardly a day passes that we don't see a cloud in the sky somewhere. And hardly a day passes without a cloud of some kind in our individual lives. Certainly these most historic and worrisome days, as the whole world is shaken by chaos of some kind. The chaos in the Middle East is obvious. Millions of lives are filled with clouds and uncertainty and despair. Let's look at a few examples in God's Word of his people who had these clouds overshadow them. And the first one is Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him, and as you know, that jealousy grew into hatred. And as you know, the story goes, Joseph was placed in a pit, and he was sold into slavery. Now, you imagine if you're Joseph in that position, he had a right to say, "Oh, my life is now a hard one. It's covered by many clouds, and here I am far from home and from the father that I love." But as you know, if you know the story, his troubles were just beginning. Because as he was taken down into Egypt, a man named Potiphar took him as a slave into his home. And there was a woman there, Potiphar's wife, that was attracted to Joseph. And she tried to get him to commit adultery with her. And then when he refused her, you know, there's an old expression, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." He refused her. And this lewd woman that had tempted him, that had felt his rejection, She displayed a devilish tongue, and she slandered Joseph. She lied about him. She claimed that he tried to molest her. Of course, in God's sight, Joseph was completely innocent, wasn't he? He hadn't done anything wrong. Yet despite that, he's not only a slave, but now he's thrown into prison. He's entirely innocent. An innocent man being lied about, thrown into jail at no fault of his own, I think he probably had a right to think that God had forgotten him about that time, wouldn't you? Probably for just a little bit. Let me ask you this morning, do you sometimes think God has forgotten you? Does that ever come across your mind and in your heart? Of course, God never forgets. He never forgets. He hasn't forgotten you. He didn't forget Joseph. In fact, as we know, in due time, God took a hand in that matter, and Joseph later was highly exalted. Another example in God's word is the prophet Jeremiah. His preaching had offended and angered the king, so he's thrown in a pit. He's left there to die. I could just imagine his feelings. I can imagine Jeremiah saying, I've been true to God. I've been in the will of God. I've preached His word. And look what has happened to me. All that I've done has been in vain. I suspect there's probably times when we have similar thoughts in our own lives. Perhaps we have our own little pity party, so to speak. And we start thinking, we're saying, well, I've trusted in God. I've been faithful. I've served Him. I pray. I have faith in my Savior Jesus. I've tried to exhibit the love of Christ in my life. Why is this happening to me right now? Why am I going through this? Jeremiah's own countrymen, they tried to kill him because of his prophecies against them. And he's thrown into that dungeon to die. I can just imagine Jeremiah's despair being in that dungeon. But there was a black man named Ebed-Melech. He was a eunuch out of Ethiopia. He had heard about Jeremiah's plight. He came and he tied rags together into a rope, and he brought Joseph up out of that pit. Now, the clouds must have been pretty dark, but we know God did not forget about Jeremiah, did He? Then there's the example of Daniel. He knew God's will for his life, and he tried to obey it, but there was a king there in the kingdom named Darius. And Darius set a decree that whoever prays to any god or man except the king will be cast into the lion's den. What did Daniel do? The Bible says Daniel went to his upper room to an open window and prayed to God three times. What did Daniel get for it? You remember the story. He's thrown into the lion's den to be killed. Talk about a dark cloud. That's a pretty dark cloud. But then once again, we see the hand of God. He remembered his faithful servant. He prevented the lions from harming him. I believe Daniel was as safe in that den as if he had just been in his own bed, because God's power and protection were over Daniel. He was watching over him. What a great thing that is. Then look at the life of this man, the Apostle Paul. Clouds begin to cover Paul's life the day he met Jesus on that road to Damascus. And clouds never cleared up until God called this man home to glory. In between those two events, this man, Paul, was persecuted unmercifully for Christ's sake. He was beaten, he was lied about, he was shipwrecked. He suffered mentally and physically and spiritually. He suffered as no man has ever suffered for the Lord. He lost his position, he lost his money, he lost family, he lost friends. The dark clouds were always hanging over Paul's life, but he endured it all for his Savior Jesus, knowing this, that all things work together for good of those that love the Lord. Since the lives of these men that we've examined this morning, millions have followed in their footsteps. Millions have followed that have been a life of sacrifice and commitment to Jesus. And I'll tell you, no follower of Christ has ever escaped the clouds. But thank God He provides a rainbow. Amen. Well, thank God He provides a rainbow. As if we've examined this morning, that we've looked at these clouds. Let's look at a second point in the sermon today, and that's pointing out that these clouds are anointed by God. For a believer that's walking in faith and trusting in Jesus, think about this, the clouds are anointed by God. As we look at these biblical examples in the lives of great men of faith, we come to understand that despite the clouds, God always knows what's best for you and me. Let that just sink in for a minute. No matter what you're going through, remember, God knows best for you. He knows that all sun and no clouds can create a desert, can it? If we never saw the clouds, we'd never see the rainbow, would we? He builds our lives by adversity as well as prosperity. The blade isn't sharpened without the grinding of the stone. We don't like that, but that's a truth. That's a reality. When a weaver weaves a rug, he puts a few bright colors in the rug, but most of them are dark on one side. But when he turns the rug over, we look at it, we see among the dark, the bright, beautiful colors that make the rug so desirable and beautiful. So when we see all things in heaven's true light, when we understand all things in heaven's true light, then we begin to see that life, our lives, are made more beautiful and more useful because of the hardships that God allows to come our way. We can see that today, can't we? I pray that you can. Someone once said, I feel sorry for anyone who has never suffered. We know this is true. Hardships and suffering changes our perspective. It does, doesn't it? An event in the life of a very famous Bible scholar, Matthew Henry, an event in his life is a good example. He was once accosted by thieves, and they robbed him of all his money. But Matthew Henry wrote these words in his diary. Listen to these words. Talk about perspective. He wrote, first of all, I'm so thankful because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't much. And fourth, it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. And that's perspective, isn't it? George W. Truett pastored First Baptist Church in Dallas for 47 years. From 1897 to 1944, and when he died, First Baptist Church in Dallas had grown to become the largest Southern Baptist church in America. But this great man of God, George Pruitt, knew a very dark period and dark cloud in his life. He went on a hunting trip with one of his deacons, and as they climbed over a fence, Reverend Pruitt's gun accidentally fired, and the bullet struck the deacon in the back, and he died immediately. And for many days, Reverend Truett locked himself up in his room. He would see no one. His heart was broken. And in those hours, all alone with God, his life was transformed. Afterward, he didn't joke as much, and he might not have laughed as much, but he became one of the greatest preachers our country has ever known. Someone said he was a great preacher because of his great heart. The trouble, the cloud, was used by God to bring about a heart of compassion and power and anointing in his preaching. By faith. Oh, it's by faith we see the clouds, and yet we continue to trust in God for the anointing that will come in our lives because of the clouds. The same God who allows the clouds to come also sends the rainbow. Well, aren't you thankful for that? God allowed the clouds to come in the Joseph's life. But he also sent the rainbow. And you remember his Joseph story. Joseph became the prime minister of all of Egypt, the most important man in Egypt outside of Pharaoh. God allowed the clouds to come to Jeremiah, but he also sent the rainbow, and Jeremiah became a great prophet and preacher for the Lord. God sent the clouds to Daniel's life, but he also sent a rainbow. He sent a rainbow and he shut the mouths of the lions while Daniel was in the lion's den. And then in Daniel's life, he brought Daniel great prominence in the kingdom. And through Daniel, great truth came to the church by the prophecies and the writings of Daniel as he told of his vision of a future world. We take great store in that prophecy and what it means to us today. God darkened Paul's life with many clouds, but in time, think about this, in time, God made Paul one of the most influential men outside of Jesus Christ in the entire New Testament. There are many hues, there are many colors in a rainbow, but scientists tell us there's just 7 primary colors: red, blue, yellow, green, indigo, and violet, and orange. Those make up the 7 colors. Let's look at God's rainbow a minute. Just look at God's rainbow of promises in the lives of men, and we'll see the colors that God wants to put into our lives. The first one is the promise of a safe retreat. In Isaiah 32:2, you know this verse, you've heard it. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That promise is that you and I, we have a retreat that we can go to our Savior Jesus and find a hiding place in Jesus. Amen. That great old song, my grandfather loved it. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. God promises that he knows our sorrows. When you and I have troubles, just remember that we are not alone. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through today, you are not alone. God knows all about them already. When God was speaking to Moses about the children of Israel, he said, I know their sorrows. A bridge was about to be finished when it was found that the connecting link was about 2 inches too short. And many thought that the architect had made a mistake, but the architect said, just wait until noon tomorrow. And by that time, the metal in that bridge had expanded and the links of that bridge fit perfectly. The architect knew about steel. Let me tell you, God knows about you and me in our lives. He does. He knows when to wait and he knows when to step in and to help us. His promise to deliver. In Psalm 50 and verse 15, we read, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. Have you ever called upon God when there's trouble? I'm telling you, he is faithful. He is there. What a great promise. In 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows all the clouds that overshadows our pathways. He knows all about it already. The fourth promise is promise never to forsake us. We love that verse in Hebrews 13:5. Jesus said these words, I will never forsake thee or deliver thee. Don't you love that? Jesus saying, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. You think about the Apostle Paul. Paul had enough troubles to break anybody's heart. At one point he was in jail. He realized the false teachers were arising. Many of his comrades had forsaken him. He was old and feeble. He knew he was soon going to die. And he wrote, he said, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. That's a bad feeling, isn't it? But he didn't stop there, thank goodness. You notice he said, no man, no man stood with me. He goes on to say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's the secret right there, isn't it? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, he says. The troubles may come, the clouds may be dark and heavy, but if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? God is with us this morning. The promise, God's promise of strength. Deuteronomy 33:25, and as your days, so shall your strength be. God fed over 2 million people in the desert for 40 years, as the children of Israel wandered in the desert, if he can do that, he has all we need, doesn't he? And he promises to give it to us. You've heard that old expression, living from hand to mouth. That's what we're doing as Christians. We're living from his hand to our mouth, amen? That's a good thing. God's promise that someday our sorrows will end. Revelation 21 and 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. In the midst of the tears that you might feel today, remember that there's a time that's going to come when God's loving hand will wipe away every tear, every tear. And finally, God's everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 reads, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's unending. It never stops. Aren't you thankful for that? Nothing in this world is permanent, but God's love is unending. It is everlasting. Praise God. These seven wonderful promises, just like the seven colors of a rainbow, these promises give beauty to a dull and gray world. These promises give light and hope that we can go through whatever we're going through because God's presence and promises are with us. I want to remind all of us that today, God's presence is with us. And we have the completed rainbow. In Revelation 4 and 3, it says, and there was a rainbow round the throne. You ever just stop and sometimes we read the Bible, we don't always stop to realize what it's saying. It says, and there was a rainbow around the throne. You know, when we see a rainbow here on this earth, it looks like that, doesn't it? It has a beginning and an ending. It stops. It's kind of like the half of a rainbow, right? But in heaven, the Bible says we're going to see a rainbow around the throne. It's going to look something like that. What is that telling us today? It's telling us that everything is completed in heaven. That what we see today is just part of it. But in heaven, it is complete. The rainbow goes all the way around the throne. The clouds may hover over us in this world. Problems and darkness may be in our life. We may wonder why, but in heaven we'll understand it. Oh, we have those moments we wonder why, don't we? We all do. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to someone I love? Why is this going on? But the Bible tells us in heaven, we'll no longer have to wonder why, because we'll know, we'll understand. The poet says it beautifully. Listen to the words of this poet. Now, in the coming years, it may be in the better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. We'll catch the broken thread again and finish what we here began. Heaven will the mysteries explain, and then, yes, we'll understand. We'll know why clouds instead of sun were over a many cherished plan. Why song has ceased when scarce begun, 'tis there sometime we'll understand. Why what we long for most of all eludes so oft our eager hand, why hopes are crushed and castles fall, up there sometime we'll understand. God knows the way. He holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eyes we'll see. Yes, there, up there, we'll understand. Trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark the way, still sing and praise. Sometime, we'll understand. It says it beautifully, doesn't it? A father and his little son were away from home on a trip, and they had to sleep in a strange bed in a motel. In the middle of the night, the little boy woke up in the darkness, and he was frightened. And he cried out, he says, Daddy, are you there? Yes, son, I've been here all the time, the father said. Even in the darkness? Asked the little boy. Yes, son, Even in the darkness, the boy sighed, and with contentment, he dropped off to sleep. Sometimes we have a moment just like that young son. We cry out to our Heavenly Father saying, "Are you there?" Millions in the world today are wondering and they're crying out, "Father, are you there?" And always, always he'll say, "Yes, yes, I'm here. I'll never leave you or forsake you." Then we can lie contented in our Heavenly Father's arms and be at rest. Aren't you glad we have a loving Heavenly Father? We are so blessed. I tell you, when the clouds hang over us, when darkness and trouble comes our way, may we just pause and look up into our Father's face and know that He does indeed have a rainbow somewhere just for you and me. Amen. Father, we thank You, for Your word gives us hope. Your word gives us encouragement. Your word shares Your promises to us, Your everlasting love and concern. Father, there are those here in this church today and those that may hear this sermon that are dealing with trouble and darkness and problems. And they're asking, "Why, Lord?" Let Your Holy Spirit just reach down and touch their mind and hearts and let them just sense Your presence and Your love and Your concern. Let them have that hope that it will soon end, that You will be with them, Your hand is with them, and that the rainbow will be seen in that cloud that's over them. Bless, I pray, with that hope in Your love and Your word. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things and we give You praise. Amen. Amen.